Good morning. Today is Monday, the 26th of February. Joining us this morning, Mr. Arkley. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Brian. How are you?
I'm dancing in the street. How about you?
Terrific. Coming back tomorrow down here in Baton Rouge where it's going to be 80 today.
Oh, good. So you get to start speaking normal then tomorrow?
I do.
Yeah.
I do.
All right. Refreshing.
Yeah.
Are you ready for your question this morning? We've now moved in to a new category.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no, I did find, I found one that I had skipped over. Huh, okay, never mind. We're still in politics and history. You ready?
Yes, sir.
All right. What is the origin of the phrase, I'll be hanged if I do and hanged if I don't?
Okay, I heard this once and it was, is same as hung as a sheep for a goat, and that's biblical. So I assume the origin is the Bible.
I gotta say something, get it out of my system. I'm glad those are the two barnyard animals you referenced with that phrase. Okay, either you get it or you
all
don't.
Right.
That's as close as we're gonna get. All right, here we go. Oh, man. When America was fighting for its independence, the British poet Thelwell was arrested after enraging King George with his liberal, sedacious support for the colonies. In prison, he wrote to his lawyers, I'll be hanged if I don't plead my own case, to which his lawyer replied, you'll be hanged if you do. His lawyer got him off, and the phrase became a slogan that contributed to the demise of the royal cause in America.
Wow. Okay.
So, see, we brought the legal thing in there for you.
Yeah. You know, full circle. That's good.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's just because we have one foot nailed down to the floor.
Yeah.
Hey, how do you suggest others learn how to pivot? You know, a lot of times that's used in sports, but now it seems to be moving into the general mainstream vocabulary. Something doesn't work out the way you want. The situation blows up, et cetera, et cetera. This talent, this ability to pivot is something that a lot of folks are able to take advantage of, and other folks are not able to, and they just kind of continue on that same direction, even though the outcome is certainly not sure.
Well, isn't it the Marines who say adapt and overcome? And I think that's a pivot. And it's just what you have to do in business and in life. There, you have to be ready to move and change directions. So I think it's kind of a great thing to be able to do, and very few people pivot quickly enough. And it's great ability to be able to do that.
Well, that was one of the follow-ups, obviously, is how long or how far along that continuum do you go thinking, well, maybe I misinterpreted something. Well, maybe that was just one fact. That's not a trend. That's only a one-month reporting cycle. That's this, that's that, and there's an attempt to justify continuing with the direction you're headed because it's comfortable.
Well, I think it's pretty hard to. Aren't pivots kind of one of those things that you making lemonade out of lemons?
Sure.
Wouldn't you say that's another way to call a pivot?
Sure. That's one example of it. Absolutely.
And so I think it's a great topic. And, you know, the slowest pivoters of all are the government. Businesses tend to be pretty nimble, but not many.
Well, those that survive tend to be nimble. Those that don't, I really think that the buggy whip industry has really taken it on the chops for a long time. So maybe there's another analogy that we can use other than that. But, you know, that works for this application.
Yeah, you and I call them Luddites. But, yes.
Yeah, so is this a learned trait or is this typically in business something that is forced upon folks who may not otherwise have that in as part of their personality makeup, but you know, when you got to do, you got to do.
Absolutely. You got to change things around. And because what's working, if something isn't working, don't keep doing it.
So how do you know where to go? Or do you just start, you hear these stories about these folks that have had a series of failed businesses over their life, and they're able to pick themselves up, start something else, get things rolling. That crashes, they get up, they do it again, that craters, they get up, and then they hit the home run. I mean, is that just a perspective?
Look at Walt Disney.
Yes. Yeah, he's one of the prime examples of it. Edison was one as well. It's interesting. I guess what I'm wondering, not that you're the oracle on this stuff, but is this genetic or is this learned?
Boy, that's such a great question, because one thing I always say is money making and business success DNA, or is it learned? And there are no answers, but everyone's got a different answer to that question.
Yeah,
I happen to. The rumor, the saying goes, "Shirt sleeves to shirt sleeves in three generations," and so kind of tells you you don't depend on success for very long.
Right. You still need to be tapping into the market, so to speak. Make sure that the demand hasn't changed, even though the supply is still constant.
And the person who succeeds the initial one, are they capable? Are they entitled? What's going to happen? You just never know.
Absolutely.
Whether DNA is taken over or not. It's interesting. You see it with local families. There are a couple of local families that have been unbelievably successful at passing on their business success. And there are other ones that did for a while and now don't.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19. By the way, if you're coming in, it looks as if there's some kind of a traffic collision on the Slough Bridge coming into Eureka. So give yourself a little bit more time to get there.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian coconut water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about chicken of the sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time is 8:23. We're back talking shop this morning with Rob Arkley. So, Rob, with all the stuff that's going on out there, what are you sensing? You think that I heard a discussion from the Bank of England last week, and they thought that there would be no change in the interest rate, the Fed rate, until after June, and then they thought maybe 5 basis points by the end of the year. Does that work for anything? Are you sensing that that's going to be the case at all, or do you have a different read on that?
Did you say 5 basis points or 50?
Well, they said five. What I interpreted as was 5 quarter point changes. So a point and a quarter, point and a half. Yeah.
No. I'm not. Of course, I don't know. England's in a recession, and we're not. But at this point. I will tell you what shocks me is how resilient the economy is right now. It's strong, and it really is doing pretty amazing things. And they just can't reduce interest rates right now. It's the economy's running too hot. It would be inflationary, and so I don't see I don't see any big interest rate reductions for a while. Now, I have some very smart friends who say we're going to have a recession now, but they don't even think we can afford an interest rate reduction yet.
So what is the relationship between the two? Go into a recession or start to see some of the recessionary actions and marketplace activity, and then the rates get cut?
Yeah, you've got to see some reduction in employment. You've got to see inventory start to build. I mean, we're kind of in unprecedented water in that this is a recession like no other, not getting too far into the trees, but there is the number one indicator over a period of decades, numbers of decades, has been an inverted yield curve. That's where the 10-year curve yields less than the 2-year curve. And why is that? Because I think we all like to think simplistically that, and simplistic is good in this case, risk is more 10 years out than it is today. Therefore, there should be a premium on risk taken 10 years out compared to risk taken out today. When the yield curve is inverted, the risk is saying, well, no, there's greater short-term risk than there is long-term risk. And so that's unusual. And so that old thesis hasn't worked so far. Now, maybe it will in the foreseeable future, but right now we're yield about 35 basis points. Mm-hmm. I watch it every day, and it continues to shock me.
So if what a lot of the American voters are indicating with some of these surveys and these polls, that former President Trump, strong on the economy, strong on immigration, not so strong in other areas, if they vote for him and he comes back in and puts back some of the programs that he had, whether it's the wall or getting the interest rates down do you think that's the linchpin argument for this fall?
Well, I mean, I think what Biden's going to argue is the economy's great. The problem is that the economy may be great, but the normal consumer just plain doesn't feel it.
Yeah, we are insulated from that. Yeah.
Well, no, we feel inflation. We don't feel a great economy. We go to the store and our dollar just doesn't go very damn far. We get a sandwich at a hole in the wall shop wherever, and it's $9 or $15 when it used to be $4 or $5. So there's not a lot to feel great about there, and that's his challenge, is to make us feel that things are really a lot better when everyone is getting negative affirmation going to the store and going to the gas station.
The gas signs are constant reminders as you go by. I would, not that I'm that savvy, but I would think that if he wanted to get people's perspectives and feeling around, that he would do whatever it would take to get the gas prices down. I mean, if gas prices dropped a buck, holy cow, you know, people, a sizable percent would think he walked on water all of a sudden. Whether or not he can do that and maintain his political base, I mean, that's a different story.
I just don't see that's what his base wants. I think his base is pretty wedded to the, pretty wedded to green energy. And, you know, gas prices, high gas prices to them are positive.
But what about the independent voters? That seems to be where the game is going to be played. What do the independents think?
I think they heard. I mean,
Okay.
Biden has challenges. He really does.
And we'll talk about some of those when we come back. It's 8:30.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:34. We're back talking shop this morning with Rob Arkley. Rob, some of the things that we focus on a lot of times are on the national level. Does a lot of that stuff boil down to Main Street, or is it more funding for some of these special grants and things of this nature that we may be aware of or may not be aware of?
Look at how we're seeing our quality of life being impacted by quote-unquote grants, because they don't cost anything. The bulb outs, no one wants those. They're wildly unpopular. He will, with a straight face, say, well, they don't cost us anything because we got grants to do it. Who gives a damn if they get? They're impacting our quality of life dramatically. Everyone knows that. Yet, stridently, they move forward as if they were elected on a mandate to provide bulb outs.
Well, I have heard that there, and I should have noted what the cities were, that there are a couple cities in Southern California that kind of went down the same road, so to speak, and they're now pulling them out because of some of the complications.
And Brian, as sure as you and I are sitting here, ours will come out. Guarantee it. They think they can change our conduct. We're a rural county. We're road dependent. And we need to be able to turn our trucks in this way, and they think they can control our conduct. The answer is for a few minutes, but not for very long. We'll change. They will be moved, and then we'll be off to the races again in a normal society. But these are strident people. They've got a strident, what's her name? Autumn Luna, the county or the city attorney, who really is just an ideologue, and you've got people who don't want to meet, who just want to do exactly what they want to do, and that's okay. But the fact of the matter is, what they're doing is unpopular. If it's not reflected in this election, it will be the next one, and the city will flip over. I've seen it happen before, and what they're doing is unpopular, and it's going to be kind of fun to deal with, but it's a shame that we have to go through this, because it's very wrenching for the city to go through the type of change that's being foisted upon us.
Well, and as you look at some of the different options that are out there, I tend to be rather simplistic. You want to slow down traffic, increase the fines on speeding. You want to stop people running red lights, make it a $2,000 fine. Okay? All of a sudden, a couple people get popped on it, and word spreads, and all of a sudden, people stop at stoplights or stop signs instead of rolling through. I probably, somebody somewhere, some court case probably is indicating that that's not legal or the way to go.
It is.
Yeah. So why not just do that?
I don't think that's the way they want to do things. I mean, this group has chosen their path. I mean, they're Pied Piper of local politics is this guy. Oh, God, what was his name? He ran for president as a Green once, and now he's here, and he's doing lots of things. The city attorney for Eureka ignores whatever the laws say, and if she's not happy with those, she says whatever comes to her mind. And she, lying is just kind of a resume enhancement for her. So, look, all this is going to change. I'm not even particularly concerned. It's unfortunate we're having to go through these processes.
Well, and I suppose one could argue that that is a healthy process, too. You know, somebody tries something, the marketplace responds up or down, adjustments are made, pivots, if you will, and then we do it differently. Okay.
Well, that's true. And my biggest problem is that they have contempt for elections if they don't win. In other words, if you win, used to be you win, you do what you want. And that's what they're doing. If they lose, they'll do everything within their power to thwart the next person. So I'm a little concerned about that. But, you know, look, I'm committed to the city of Eureka, to the business district, and to making things work. And so, you know, we aren't going anywhere. I feel like, you know, Cher and I and Allison are representing the citizens of Eureka who are right now being run over. And so it's no fun, but that's what it is.
What do you think about roundabouts?
You know, I've seen them back east before we got them here.
Yeah.
The roundabouts, they're okay. They don't do as much as one would think. The kids out here in the east learn to accelerate through them pretty fast.
Kind of like the Daytona 500? Get into the curve
Or like, it's not a 500, it's more of a Grand Prix concept.
Oh, okay. Sidewalks are just lanes to get into, okay.
But not the sidewalk, it's the getting around the roundy round, and you're supposed to yield, but you don't, you dart in. It's just a great thing to witness. But look, everyone wants to experiment. That's what they're doing. They're trying to go to a completely green agenda. Okay, fine. We're in a green agenda. Will energy be available for cars? Well, we'll see. I mean, we're not going to go forward with projects with huge green mandates on parking places for our apartments. Hell, I'm not going to listen to these idiots, and I won't do it. And so that's what we're doing.
Yeah, speaking of parking lots, do you have to go with those, you know, they call them, I think, spaces for cars, but I don't know what kind of cars can really fit in that and be able to open their doors and not ding somebody else. Is there any standards anywhere that says for pickup trucks or for minivans or for anything that regular people drive instead of some of these niche vehicles that are out there? It seems to be that there's a formula, I understand. And the more you get
there in... There is a formula, but what it really is motivated by is the developer wanting to meet parking criterion so he can put more improvement on the property than he otherwise would. And so what they're trying to do is maximize parking availability. And so the smaller the parking place, the better it is for the developer.
But and tougher for those.
On our properties, we try to avoid it. I'm an economic realist, and if your car is going to get dinged, you're not going to like it one bit. And I don't try to put people in that position. But every developer, everyone who owns property deals with the size of the parking space.
But then that's logical, and that kind of confirms what I think a lot of us were aware of. But are there things like for motorcycle slots that, do they count, or are those like bicycle racks where they're just kind of seen as additional?
I don't know.
No. Yeah, I mean, if you had 10 or 15 motorcycle slots, or pardon me, scooters.
Yeah, well, our company doesn't plan around motorcycle parking. I'm aware of that. I'm pretty darn sure of that. At the malls, we tend to have pretty generous parking places based on the type of users we have.
Yeah, well, kind of seems logical that way, but yeah, maybe it's not as economically efficient, you know, for some of these other folks. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:44.
Hearty and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft salad dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Information time is 8:49. We're back talking shop this morning with Rob Arkley. So, Rob, as you are kind of looking with all of us into March and springtime, what sense do you have? Is this going to be a positive year, a strong year, a treading water year? What read do you have right now?
I think almost everyone I talk to says business is, you know, pretty good. I think in real estate sales, I think it's tumbled off quite a bit. On the other hand, leasing here in outside of Eureka has just kind of awakened. For a while, there wasn't a lot of commercial leasing, and now all of a sudden, everyone's awake. So, I mean, I think it's pretty solid. I wish Humboldt would get more enrollment. Do we have any new numbers for them?
Jen was on last week and indicated that the fulfillment rates at this point are indicating significantly higher. And we kind of both, not that I factor into this, agree that they are now requesting deposits where they didn't last year. So they were like number three or four, or if something else doesn't work out this year, they're getting the deposits, which, you know, obviously is going to translate to a higher ratio. Guardedly optimistic, I think, is a good working phrase at this point.
Good. I just don't see wind happening for a generation or two, if at all. And so I'm pretty darn optimistic about a lot of things in Eureka. The quality of employee we have is spectacular, but I don't see a lot of building. I don't know if we'll build. If we got permitted for everything, I don't know if we'd build right now. I don't know that the economics make sense.
You're saying that the houses out in Indianola?
Yeah. I mean, we're going to go through and permit and get that done, but I have serious doubts that we would start building for a while. I don't think the demand is there. I don't think the economics work at this point. So, you know, it's just a wait and see.
Is there a linchpin figure that you would think could trigger the real estate in our area to make that project pencil out?
Yeah, I think I'm not as interest rate driven as I am income per square foot. And I think it's got to be around 250 a square foot, somewhere in that range, for new projects to make sense. I guess you can build kind of semi-slumlord newish housing, but it doesn't stand the test of time and start smelling pretty quickly.
Right.
And, I mean, what we don't want is more like the veterans housing that Danco did on 4th Street. God, that's a slum right in the middle of the city, right before our very eyes. It's terrible. And so, you know, right now, doing nothing seems to be a pretty great solution. and just let the market go to work.
Just let things kind of work themselves through. Do you think next year is looking more positive in that regard?
Yes, absolutely. I think this year, kind of sit still and let the wave go by and see what's there.
More than just the enrollment at Humboldt?
Right now, I think there are a lot of challenges in Eureka. Look at the occupancy on a lot of the buildings. They're low.
Yes.
And they're probably going to need to, some of them probably need to be torn down. I mean, we're looking at certain buildings, and boy, they're probably not worth the rent that's being asked. And so you need to go somewhere which gives a false impression that it's acceptable. So I don't know what you do. It's not very sexy right now.
Well, we'll see what happens when you get to town later this week, bud. Thanks for popping
All
in.
Right. Take care.
All right. See you later. See everybody else tomorrow.